Well, good morning. It is great to see each one of you. Merry Christmas. I hope you've had a great season so far and enjoying this time. We always talk about the busyness and all the stuff, but man, oh man, we had five programs that we did through the Academy this year. I actually do that many most years. But this year, it was interesting. I got to open the programs instead of close them. Our superintendent, Holly Leach, had surgery, and she's doing very well, by the way, and God's answered some prayers there. So I kind of had a new taste of starting things off and kicking things off. So the first program a couple weeks ago was our little guys, our ELC, and these are just the 3 and 4 year olds, you know. And I prayed, and then we launched them and invited them to come down. And man, these parents just went nuts. They had their cameras out in the videos, and they're waving. And one mother was there going blah, 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 like that to just try to get her daughter's attention, you know. And I just sat and watched it, and I just had to smile. And so the next program, I just made the comment, in the moment, you guys are just going to go nuts, and you're going to be watching the kids come down. And it just dawned on me that they're going to be looking at, I don't know, dozens of kids up here in some cases, but you're going to only see one, and that's going to be your child. And I just pointed out, I said, that's how God sees you. He picks you out of the crowd, He sees you. And He loves you, and He wants your attention, and he wants that relationship, and He's going to do everything He can to get your attention. So I kind of did that in the subsequent the program. So the last program, second and third grades, I think, it was the biggest one we had. The room was packed, and there's about 120 kids up on these risers, right? And I mentioned this, and I walk off, and sure enough, parents start going crazy. I go to the back of the room here by the media booth. And here's a dad back there. He's standing right next to me, and he's going like this, you know, and he's getting his attention. And all of a sudden he says, he turned his back on me. I mean, he looked over me. He says, he just turned his back on me. He didn't realize that the start of the program, all 120 kids turn around at the start of the program. All he could see was one kid, and he thought his kid turned his back on him. And then about 10 seconds later, he says, oh, I guess they're all turning their back. And I thought, my point exactly. I said, all you saw was one child. And it is good to know that the Lord loves us like that. Now, I have to confess to you, this morning, I was sitting there down there just a few minutes ago, and I was taken back 7 years ago during Christmas, and I was going all over town looking for a guitar for my son for Christmas that would be his life guitar, with the dreams that he might play it and use and all that. And he's up here playing this morning, playing the acoustic guitar, the guitar that I got him 7 years ago. And I had one of those moments. And I just thought, thank the Lord. He is so good to us, isn't he? What a great time of the year to celebrate. We're going to be looking in the book of Galatians today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be turning there in a moment, chapter 4. Ushers are going to provide a Bible if you'd like one. Get their attention this morning as usual. While they're doing that, could I just give you a couple of things in our life together to be aware of? You know, I mentioned this last week because we had just found out that we lost one of our dear saints, I think, that had been part of North Shore for so many years, Don Irwin. Passed away. He had served in communion for many, many years, a lot of the behind-the-scenes work that you see. And Don's going to have a service today to remember his life and his memory. 2 o'clock this afternoon at Floral Hills, which is just south of here. So just wanted you to be aware of that. We also lost Howard Brown, and this is the father-in-law of one of our employees, our HR director, Sherry, and her husband, Howard. And we want to pray for their family as they remember their dad. And so, in our walk, in our life together, we're launching a series, as many of you know, His Story. And this is the first Sunday. I hope you've had a chance to read through the book. I challenged you in several areas to read and maybe to study and to get into a group, into a life group, maybe carve out a time each week if you have kids, particularly if you have kids at home. Carve out a night of the week where you shut everything down and maybe just have a time of family worship to where you may pick up one of the stories. We've tried to provide some tools for you along those lines. One of them our media crew thankfully was able to secure the audio, an audio version that you can download, okay? So if you go to our, maybe you're not such a reader or maybe you don't enjoy reading, but you have a commute and you could listen to it on the way to work, or if you go to a gym and like to put the headphones on, you know, and do something while you're exercising, you know, we made that available. So if you go either to our app or our website, you can download that, okay? Our media or our discipleship team has created some questions and some study materials for each week. These are going to come out each week, and so you can download these on the app as well and the website. This first week is available. Now, some of our groups I know take off during Christmas. We take a little break, and so some of them won't be picking up until after the first year, but you can still get the study and do this on your own or independently, okay? Looking forward to this time in this series. We're going to be doing the first message today, and then in 2 weeks we'll pick up the second message, all right? Next week, of course, is Christmas Eve, and that'll be a dedicated service for that purpose. So that's a little bit of a heads up of what's coming ahead. And today, what we're doing is we're looking at Galatians 4. One other thing I did want to mention, by the way. We have a special opportunity. Damien was talking about what we've been mentioning, Love Shows Up, and just encouraging you to be available to the Lord, whatever you might want to do. Well, an opportunity came this week that was pretty cool. We got the opportunity. Apparently a ship just came in with 80 sailors on it, and they are pretty much committed to being on the base on Christmas Day. And now we have a growing relationship with a chaplain there through Greg Chaffness, one of our community pastors. And they've invited us to serve dinner, Christmas dinner, for those 80 sailors. And so Greg's putting this together. And if you would like to participate, this is another one of the things under that banner of Love Shows Up. If you'd like to contribute toward the meal financially, you could do it that way. Or if you really like to cook and you want to provide something, Greg's going to be out in the lobby after the service. Get his attention, ask who he is, and they'll point you in his direction. And if you'd like to do something, he'll let you know the menu and when you could do that and how to make that arrangement. I know he's had many volunteers to literally go up and show up, but he has to be a little bit selective because of the security reasons. And so, but if you're really interested, he might be able to make that happen too. But isn't that a cool opportunity to be able to just be the hands and feet of Christ? And so you'll all be a part of that kind of collectively as a church as we serve them. By the way, that chaplain is going to be at our 5:30 Christmas Eve service. This is the first time we've had a chance to involve him here at North Shore, so we're looking forward to that. Today, we're picking up the message. If you had a chance to read his story, the first chapter, it's called The Birth of Hope. And what I wanted to do just for a few minutes today is for us to just kind of take the journey, not just to Bethlehem and the simplicity of the stable and the manger where Jesus was born, but for us to go back and to somehow appreciate what God did in order to bring us to that amazing event. My goal, I guess, today is that we would have this sense of the intricacy of all of God, sovereign God's activity to bring all of these events to bear on that one occasion. We see it on the surface of what took place there in Bethlehem, and we think, wow, what a beautiful sight, what a simple sight. And yet, for centuries prior to that, God was putting some pieces in place that had to come together in a perfect fashion. And I want us to hopefully appreciate that as we do. And that's what we come to this Christmas as we celebrate. As I was putting this together this week, I started thinking about some of our own family history. I don't know if I've shared this with you guys or not, but when Annette and I got married, one of the unspoken contracts was that I would take her home to Southern Illinois for Christmas, every Christmas, wherever we were at. And I mean, we were in Indiana, we were in Oklahoma, we were in Bellingham, we were in Florida, and pretty much for all of those years as our kids were growing up, and I'm telling you, it wasn't always easy. When we were in Bellingham, for example, we had three little girls, and I can remember packing up about four or five diaper boxes that were like this size, you know, big box full of presents, all the luggage for all the kids, and then the three kids in tow, and to make our way down to SeaTac and get on the plane. And it more often than not, it was a disaster. I mean, the year that we tried to land in St. Louis and it was fogged in and we couldn't land the plane, they took us to Chicago, said you're gonna have to get off the plane, spend the night, and then get back here at 5 a.m. to catch a flight just, you know, a couple hours south to St. And I'm thinking, what a vacation, right? But the thing that I really don't miss is when we'd get there and then you have all this stuff, and of course you'd have to, for things you were getting for your kids, it was all disassembled, right? And so we'd get there a lot of times late, and then here's Christmas the next day. So I'd have to start putting the pieces and assemble all these things that would have to be ready for the next morning, right? And so I'd go down in the basement at Grandma's house, and I would get the box open and start putting the instructions out, and you know what I'm talking about, right? Put piece A and piece B together in this way, and I think it was one year it was an elaborate dollhouse, you know, that I had to kind of fit, and I'm looking at the picture, and I'm listening to the instruction, and I'm trying to AA over here and BB over here and all this, and I'm just thinking, who designed this thing? You know, who came up with this plan? And, you know, I finally got it all together, and I only had a few pieces left over. Good. Now, I know I'm talking to a room full of engineers, and it's probably guys just like you that wrote these instructions, but I'm not that kind of guy. I don't put those pieces together that well. And I thought about that because, believe it or not, when you think about the Christmas story with me, there were a lot of pieces that had to come together perfectly for this all to happen. And I want to take you back this morning, just for a moment. Why was this plan necessary? And what did this redemption plan really look like? If you'll go back with me all the way to the garden, when man was created initially, Adam and Eve, you guys know that God created them with the purpose of having a relationship. He wanted a loving relationship. In order to do that, he had to put something in man called free will. Back in Genesis, it said that we were created in God's image, and so there was this creative part of us, this kind of volitional part of us built in. Unfortunately, when we're given the choice between doing right and wrong, we chose wrong. And that's what broke this relationship. That rebellion is what we call now sin. That's what sin is. It's missing the mark. Literally, that's what the word means, to miss the mark. And so the consequences of that, as it unfolded in chapter 3 of Genesis, was things aren't going to be the same. You guys are going to be kind of cast out of this wonderful garden. And then in verse 15 of chapter 3, something very interesting the Lord says. He says to the woman, actually speaking to the serpent, and he says, there is going to be enmity or hostility between you and the woman and her offspring. And he says, but her offspring is going to crush your head, and you are going to strike at his heel, or their heel. And I thought about that a little deeper. Have you ever given this consideration? What would you rather have, to have your heel bruised or to have your head crushed? He's going to destroy him, the enemy, Satan, but Satan is going to be striking and biting and trying to trip us up at our heel along this journey. And it's pretty much that point that the Lord's redemption plan is going to start to unfold right out of the gate. He's going to try to restore and bring us back to this place of restoration. The events you read in your Old Testament that unfold, like Abraham being called out from Ur of the Chaldees into the promised land, the place that God will choose, he offers up his son, Isaac, the promised child. God says, because you did not withhold your only son, he said, I am going to bless all people through you, through your descendants, through this lineage, it's all going to transpire. And friends, I don't know, you know, in a moment we're going to just be referred to genealogy. I don't know how far back you go or how far back you can remember. I can only go back maybe two or three generations at the most, my great-great-grandfather. And beyond that, it's pretty much blank. But when you're going back 14 and 24 and 30 generations of God's plan unfolding in history that's recorded for us, that's amazing. That's amazing. And so that kind of brings us up to this passage that I invited you to turn to in Galatians 4. And Paul just sums it up with this phrase in verse 4. Listen to this. He says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons." Isn't that great? That's summing it up, that God had a plan, and now the time came for that plan to unfold. I want us to just take a little closer look at that this morning. I want to pray first, though, and just ask for the Holy Spirit to help us. Lord, today as we open up your word, I'm going to invite the light of your Spirit to illuminate our way. God, I understand that there are things that can happen only because of your power and your Spirit at work. And we're inviting that to happen in this place, in the hearts of these people. And Lord, my ultimate desire and prayer is today that anyone who has not taken that first step of relationship with you, to that mending, that reconciling work that was done through Jesus, maybe today is that day that they will take that step. Just pray that your word would go forth with power and conviction. We trust you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You got some notes on the way in. Let me walk you through some of the things that I just wanted to pick out from that first part, that first phrase, verse 4, when the fullness of time had come. You know, by now you've been listening to a lot of Christmas music, right? The radio, and you're hearing a lot of the same Christmas songs over and over. One you probably have heard several times. I am dreaming of a white Christmas. Well, I want to change the words to that, all right? Next time you hear it this week, I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. Just think of that next time you hear that. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. And I stopped to think, the things we're going to look at are because God did it in his own perfect way. And the first thing that I see in this verse is Jesus came at the right time. At the right time. Everything that unfolded, he said, in the fullness of time, he had come. Jesus came, the Son came, born of a woman. Think about this with me. He doesn't really get specific here, and if there were promises that it would be in a woman and that there'd be a son, how would you know when they had come? How would you know it was the right woman and that it was the right son? How do you know somebody's identity unless you ask a few questions like what's your name, or where were you born, or where do you live? Those are the kinds of things that we would ask in order to find out who somebody is, right? How do you know it's the right woman and the right son that he's referring to here? God gives us the details. And one of the things that unfolds is these details that come forth as he's preparing the people for the coming. When the time had fully come, God sent his son. What are some of those details? How would you know that this was the mother and then the child that is being referred to here? Let me give you just a few hints here, all right? He prepared them, first of all, religiously by the moving in the prophets of old. In the persons God had designated as kind of his mouthpiece in the centuries prior to coming to Christ, or the coming of Christ, God spoke through them, okay? Several areas. One, this child had to be a descendant of David. Okay, I mentioned Abraham. David comes out of the lineage of Abraham, but the throne of David, there was a promise given, and it's referred to in Isaiah 9, verse 7. This is the familiar verse. Unto you a child is born. But then he says, the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end, and the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it. And when Jesus was born, it was at the right time. He was of the descendants of David. We all know he was born of a virgin, and that had to happen, and that was foretold again in Isaiah 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Hundreds of years before Jesus came, God said, this is how it's going to happen. This is how you'll know this is my son who's born of a virgin. And then, of course, the place. Well, where was he born? Was that foretold? Absolutely. Micah 5, verse 2, you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. Remember when the wise men came to Herod to find out, well, where is this king that's been born that we traveled all this way to see? And remember Herod began to tap into those who knew the scriptures, and they knew them well enough. Friends, this was an expectation. They knew that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. It's why Herod sent the soldiers to destroy all the boys that were 2 years old and younger, because he wanted to get rid of this threat that he felt. And so Bethlehem was to be the place. That's how we would know who he is. Several other things. Did you know that the gifts that were given when those same wise men came, and it was referred to in the scriptures, if you read your book this week, the story, you notice that it weaved in all of the gospels. And Matthew's account tells about these gifts. They were foretold in Psalm 72. He says, the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. Okay? Where would he live? Where would this son live? Well, we know that he lived in Galilee, right? We know that that's where they went back to, and he was raised in Nazareth of Galilee. That was foretold in Isaiah 9 again. In the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. I just point, and friends, this is just scratching the surface. There are 30, 40, 50 of prophecies just like that that are fulfilled in Christ. It was exactly the right time, and he prepared them for that in a spiritual sense by the speaking of these prophecies of the servants that went on before him. Another area, he prepared for them politically by moving the nations, I don't know if you've ever looked at this or been aware of this or not, but in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, that's probably one of the most amazing prophecies in all of Scripture, because it is so specific as far as the years. If you're not familiar with it, look it up, or I didn't put it in your notes, but put it in your margin. Basically, Daniel is in exile in Babylon. He's been there. They had to stay there 70 years. But Daniel, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said that from the time that you are restored or you can go back to Jerusalem, from that time to the time that you rebuild is going to be, he says, 7 weeks. And most would agree, as we read those kinds of prophecies, the weeks and the days referred to would be years. And so 7 weeks would be 49 years, okay? And then it says after that 7 weeks, then there's 62 weeks that will follow that period until the anointed one comes, literally the Messiah comes. Scripture, by the date and by the year, predicted when that would happen. How many years? And here's what actually happened. In 485 BC, Artaxerxes was king over Persia, and he's the one that gave the edict for them to go back, that they could go back, that the 7 years were over. That was around 485. They go back, and it was 42 years later when they were given all the supplies and all the stuff to really begin to build the temple. You can read about this, by the way, in the book of Ezra, chapter 4, chapter 7, literally these edicts that were given. And it took them about 7 years to complete that temple. So 49 years elapsed. That was that 7 weeks, as we referred to. And that would take you to about 435 or 440, somewhere around there. And then you go the 62 weeks, which is like 434 years, I think it is. and you just go to that. We don't know the exact year that the Lord was born. We know roughly between, because of the political climate and everything, but it was right at that time that Christ was born. Exactly. God orchestrated these countries, these rulers, to do his bidding. He was sovereign God from a large scale. In 350 BC, a leader grew, which his name was Alexander the Great. You've heard of him. He conquered the largest portion that anybody had up to that point in the world. And the one thing that Alexander did was to introduce to all those countries and nations that he conquered was one language, and that was the Greek language. It was the first time that everybody was kind of speaking the same. They had their own dialect, but they knew Greek. And just imagine the impact on that, that now they could converse and they could interact with one another because of the language being the same. You fast forward to the Roman Empire that took over at the time of Christ. They were the ones that introduced the road systems and the trade routes. And now not only did they have the language that they shared, but they could actually travel to and from. And that was the place, that was the position or the posture that Christ entered into. Because read the book of Acts and just see how the Apostle Paul, for example, he wrote all of his letters in Greek, right? Because everybody could understand that. They could appreciate that. And then he had the means by which to get to the various countries. It was exactly the right time. In fact, Paul, look at your notes again. In Ephesians 1, he says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. And friends, that's what we celebrate today. Jesus came at the right time. He did it perfectly. God's timing is perfect. And you know, if you're here today and you question whether God understands or God knows you or could pick you out and knows your circumstances, just be assured God loves you and his timing is perfect. Regardless of what you're going through or questions that you have, God's timing is perfect. Jesus came at the right time. Real quickly, look at the second part of that verse in Galatians. He not only came when the time had fully come, he sent forth his son, but he was born of a woman. Born of a woman. God could have chose any way, any means to come into this world. He could have just poof appeared if he chose. But his plan was to come through a woman. And I wanted to just lift out a couple of things. I think we celebrate as well. Jesus came through the right person. Mary. What a beautiful story it is. And I hope you had a chance to read that gospel account this week. Just about the simplicity that she offered up her heart to the Lord. Three things stood out to me. One was that she was a woman who pleased God. Listen to her words. When the angel came, said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Goes on to say, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." She pleased God. She was a woman who the Lord knew, and he knew that he could trust her. She was obedient to the Lord. "Behold," she says, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. Guys, just think about what she had been just told. You're going to have a baby, and she knows she's not been with a man. How could this be? How could this happen? And it says, it's the Spirit that's going to overshadow you. And that had to happen, by the way. The virgin birth is not an option in our theology. Because if Christ was born naturally from a woman, through the normal way, the inherited seed of sin would have continued down. But she was not. She was conceived of by the Holy Spirit. I know it's a mystery, but it is essential. If you were in your books this week, I think it's page 6 and 7, you're going to see two genealogies. One of them is Mary's and one of them is Joseph's from two different gospels. And that's interesting because Mary, being the mother, she had to come from the lineage of David, and it traces back to David's heritage, because that was foretold. Joseph was not his biological father, But legally, he was his father and his guardian. And for Jesus to assume a throne of David, you know, even that way, the father would have had to have that same lineage from David. And so it's all there. She was the right person. And she had a faith that God honored, just like Abraham and just like all the others that had gone before. Hey, you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about Moses? Remember when Moses was told, hey, this is what I'm going to do in your life? Moses kind of dug his heels in and said, hey, I can't see how this is going to happen. Listen to Mary's statement. I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You know, it's just a beautiful sight. And her faith, Luke records, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. She believed it. She trusted God. And as we walk through the story these coming weeks, we're going to be looking at these stories from long ago about the life of Jesus. But just like our subtitle says, it's not just his story, it's our story, and those are one story when Christ lives within us. There's going to be the big picture that we're going to look at and the details about that to learn about Jesus, but I also look to where those converge, where those pieces come together in your life and in my life, and I think this is one of those cases. And I just challenge you this morning. If God was looking to do something through you, would you find that you would be a person he would describe as favored of God? Would you be obedient to whatever it is that the Lord discloses to you? Would you approach it with faith? Or would you dig your heels in and resist what God's plan is for your life? And that really leads us to the third part of this. He came at a time that had fully come. God sent his son through a woman born by the law. And what was the right message, the right hope that was to bring? Galatians 5, look at verse 5. It is to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Guys, the message we celebrate today, the right hope that we have, this birth of hope, is all the message of redemption. It means to exchange something for something better. And what's he exchanging? I mean, think about it. The first thing, he's exchanging darkness for light. John's gospel talked about the light coming into the world. The world didn't recognize it, but he said that light was the light of men. And he's taken us from darkness and exchanged that, redeemed that for light. He's taken your sin, my sin, and he's exchanged that sin, that rebellion, that separation from God. He's replaced that with salvation. He's pulled us out of that and made that possible that we can be reunited with God. But the biggest one of all is that he exchanged death, which is a result of that sin, for life that the Lord gives us, and life more abundantly. That's what he's done. I don't know who said it, but I remember hearing somebody said that Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe because we owed a debt that we could not pay. We're all in that predicament. And today, that message is ringing true. And friends, God's timing is perfect, isn't it? It always has been, it always will be. And as we even look ahead, I want to kind of wind things down and pray with you in just a moment. And I just begin by asking, do you know that? Have you come? You're saying, who is this for? Who is this woman and the son? Who are they given to? Why did they come? Who is it for? And I can't help but hear those words of the Gospel of John where he says, to all who would receive him, this son, to those who would believe on his name, they are given the right to become a child of God, to be this adopted one that passage said, to receive him and to believe on his name. And could I ask you, do you knowingly look back to a time when you know in your heart of hearts that you were drawn, you were called by God, he's the one that kind of called you out, and you literally received him into your life, into your heart, as your Savior, as your life, as your light? Has he redeemed you from those things, and you've come into that glorious life and light? And do you believe on his name? Do you believe him? You believe that God sent his son for you, so that we could be restored in a right relationship with him. You know, today, if there's any uncertainty about that, why don't we pray together and let's just talk to him about it. Take that step of faith. I know it takes a lot of courage, but maybe today is that day that God's calling you to make that certain in your own heart, in your own life. Amen? Let's stand together. I'm going to close with a prayer. Damien and the team are going to come and share a closing song in a moment, but let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and just for your plan of salvation and redemption. Lord, it kind of brings things into perspective when we think of the Christmas story and the beauty of it, the simplicity of it. When we stop and we think about all of the things that had to come together to fall into place just perfectly, the perfect timing, the right person, the right place, the right message. Father, we just want to thank you just for your wisdom. We worship you, Lord, as our God and as our Savior and for this plan. And Lord, I do pray today for a brother or sister that has come. I don't know what the circumstances were that brought them here today. Maybe a friend invited them, or maybe they've been coming for a while and you've just been tugging at their heart and they know that there's some step that they need to take. And you've made it pretty clear for us. You haven't kept it hidden, that we simply have to open our hearts up, that door of our heart, to the Lord Jesus and invite him to come in and take up residence there. You know, today as we pray and our heads are bowed, and if this is kind of resonating with you this morning and you've never prayed that prayer, you've never trusted him that way, perhaps today is a day that you'd say in your heart of hearts, Lord, today I receive you as my Savior. I believe in you. And I'm asking you to come into my life and into my heart and to give me the power to begin to live in a way that pleases you from now on. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. I'm so sorry for them. And I today just want to say out loud to you, Lord, I receive your free gift of eternal life. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, would you just give assurance to the ones who have by faith is taken that small step, and yet we know a whole life is ahead of them. We love you. We thank you for that. And we worship your name. We adore you, Lord, with all of our heart. And we just sing our praises for the goodness that you've shown towards. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, let me just say before Damien shares the song, if you prayed that prayer, let somebody know about it. Let one of us or just somebody close to you, let somebody know about that. And in case you're not aware, the next step that you would take is to outwardly declare that through baptism, okay? And by the way, next week, I think we've got some baptisms planned, and we're going to give some opportunities for that in 2 weeks, the 31st, on the last day of this year, we're going to have a baptism service. Maybe that's something some of the rest of you might want to consider. But share with somebody what Christ has done for you. And let's just worship his name as we close with this song this morning. All right? God bless you.